Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. Today is part two of a very special interview that I have been honored to participate with. This is a retired Navy SEAL, Senior Chief Petty Officer, Justin Sheffield. And he was not just a Navy SEAL, but a member of SEAL Team 6. And he has written a book about his experiences called Mob 6, a SEAL Team 6 Operator's Battles in the Fight for Good or Evil, Over Evil. And we've been talking about this. If you missed any of yesterday's episodes, you need to go back and catch up because you missed some really great information. Today, we're going to do part two of this interview where we really go into a deep dive here. And you're going to hear some things that a lot of people don't understand, have never heard of. Matter of fact, I ask him, we're starting today's interview off, I am asking him a question of because of some people I've known that were SEALs. And I asked him a question about a takedown of a moving vessel at sea. And that's not even in his book, but he goes ahead and answers the question for us anyway. I mean, he's a great person, and you need to get the book. The links are at the show notes, and you'll hear about it at the end. But let's jump right back into the interview with Justin Sheffield. So on these ship takedowns, I mean, you're talking, you know, trying to infiltrate an enemy ship while it's underway.
Yes.
For a hostage rescue or whatever, right?
Or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a very, very dangerous environment. I didn't write about it specifically on purpose, but tell you that, you know, these are the things that absolutely separate us from everyone in the world is how we are in the water. And then some of the other things that we're able to do just because of our, the pipeline. I mean, you're getting guys that are, these are peak performers. Selection is everything dissected about your tactical ability and your skill set and how you are as an operator. So,
yeah, amen. Let's talk about your book. It's called MOB 6, SEAL Team 6 Operators Battles in the Fight for Good Over Evil. Why did you write this book?
For several reasons. I started writing at NICO up in Bethesda, Maryland, when I was up there being seen for mild traumatic brain injuries, my, you know, physical and mental stuff going on, PTS. And one of the forms of therapy was writing. I used to just throw up on the page and got a lot out of it, actually. And I started writing. One of my leaders, actually, who I still consider a leader, told me, you know, if you died tomorrow, what would you want your kids to know about you? And it was great advice because I used to think that, and I was convinced that I was going to commit suicide and looking forward to it. And I used to pray about it because I obviously I'm a Christian, and I had a very hard time with that. It was, you know, to me, I was like, man, I've given up. Have I really given up on the Lord? I mean, am I really going to do this? And I wanted to because I felt like such a failure. But to answer your point, you know, I had gone back and forth. Am I going to publish this? Am I not going to publish this? And last year I got serious about it for a lot of reasons. Number one is our foundation. You know, we've helped hundreds of veterans over the last 4 years. And, the whole reason I set it up is I couldn't get, other foundations to pay for the treatment that we're paying for now because it's expensive and they had their own stuff going, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was raising money for other groups and I stopped doing that, because they weren't putting it where, in my mind, it needed to go.
Yeah.
And me sort of being the ground truth of it, going through something, and I saw the benefit. And I've just seen miracle after miracle for the last 4 years we've been doing this. So that was another reason. And ultimately, the number one reason I wrote this is it's my testimony. All credit goes to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I would hope that, you know, I'm not going to preach at anybody. I'm going to give you the gospel. And the gospel means good news, and there's good news that a man named Jesus, who I know as the Lord, he died on a cross for us.
Amen.
And that's good news because without that, we'd all be doomed.
Yeah.
because we're all sinners and God hates sin, but he loves us. So it talks about that, goes a little further into detail. And I know that, you know, I talk about why Jesus is the Christ because, you know, we needed a savior. I know what that word means. It's not his last name. And he was risen three days later. So, and I know I'm quote unquote preaching to a preacher, but I would just say that it's, I don't care what anybody says. I know I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
I look back over a life and we have regrets. We have things that we wish we could do over and do differently. And,
sure.
You know, I mean, I don't know how many times I've gone over in my head, just the guys that have gotten killed that I love so dearly. And I wasn't on the operation with them, you know, and I think about that, like, oh man, could I have done, and, you know, you try to replay stuff. I mean, guys that were there try to replay it. Like, what did I do wrong?
Yeah.
But ultimately, that's the reason, is it's my testimony to the power, the love, and the unwavering and undying faith that God has for us. And he, you know, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he ain't leaving you.
Yeah, amen. Amen. I know, you know, throughout your book, I mean, you make it very clear that you're a Christian. And, I mean, you put in there, you know, you requested prayer before and during and while on deployment. And you prayed with your team prior to entering an active AO. You know, your faith, it seems, it helped you to prepare mentally and spiritually to do what needed to be done. And that is evident throughout the book. In fact, in the final chapter of your book, you actually lead your boys in the prayer of salvation and baptize them in the bathtub. You know, that's an awesome closing to the book. And you close with scripture, you know, from Matthew 24 in the book of Revelation, discussing the return of Jesus. I thought that was an absolutely fantastic way to close your book. I mean, it was just awesome. You know,
thank you.
We talked about, you know, the faith on the battlefield. You know, at my stepson's funeral, one of his team members was telling the story about, you know, they were in a firefight and it wasn't looking good. They were pinned down and you know, they're caught in a crossfire. And this guy's like, this might be it, you know. And Scott, the team member, is telling the story. He says, Scott looked over and said, "Are you a Christian?" He goes, "Yeah." "So get up and let's start fighting. What do we got to lose?" You know, so
that's it.
And they just fought their way through it, you know.
And you know, to that point right there, so I've been able to do some extraordinary things and be a part of extraordinary things when it comes to combat. But I do feel, you know, I don't do things that are unsafe, but I definitely have always felt a different sense of safety on target against bad guys. And, you know, looking back over it all, it's like the Lord delivered every single time. I mean, I could sit here and talk about how awesome I was and I went the right way and it was all, but it's like God definitely steered me. I'm not saying I was levitating through the target and God was just killing the enemy for me, but certainly there's some, you know, discernment and some intuition that is given from above. Clearly, I can't take credit for that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Amen. Amen. I can't agree more. Tell us about the hostage rescue, which in your book you call your number one mission. Why did you consider this the biggest mission you had?
Well, I will say that, and thank you for that, it's the number one mission of SEAL Team 6, hostage rescue. It's a different thing, requires a different mindset. You're accepting death. You're not going to, so we have different tactics for hostages. And all I'll say is that it really encompasses the fact that you're not slowing down and taking a step back once it starts because you have people that are alive, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like if we're going up against the Taliban, for example, and we're getting pinned, like we can back off, we can come up another way. We're not going to just keep pressing and taking rounds.
Yeah.
Self-preservation. With a hostage, it's a little different than that. The gig's up when it's up. And you ain't stopping until it's over, right? So you either die or they're rescued. But there's no let's take a knee and check this out kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a different mission, requires a different skill set, especially that particular one, the way that we got there.
Yeah.
You know, it was extremely difficult. And what I would say about it is there was a list of things that went against us and went wrong. And any one of them could have really spoiled or canceled this operation, or made it go catastrophically wrong. And once again, I'll just say that, talk about the presence of the Lord and angels that he sent. I mean, there's no other explanation for it. And I've been on multiple targets like this, where I've seen the seas part, if you will, so to speak, with bad guys fleeing, and they, you know, they didn't see me. I don't know what they're seeing. But you know, I would just say that that rescue was important to us. It was coming on the heels of a very, very hard few months of funerals. We had just lost a whole troop. And
that was the one in the ship.
It just, and you know, and that was coming on the heels of Bin Laden. So you talk about just an emotional roller coaster in 2011, you know, and we were getting hammered at the command just because, you know, the guys killed Bin Laden, and it was like we were in trouble or something. It was ridiculous. But
I can't believe, you know, they outed SEAL Team 6 on that. I mean, you know, this.
I mean, there was like,
you know,
there
so
was
much
media
for secrecy,
at the gate.
You know.
Yeah, they showed up to the bars we hung out at. I mean, it was a bit different, you know. And then and what's sad about it, I guess, is guys really got the brunt of it. Guys at the command who are complete heroes. Just the treatment was a bit different. But you know, then we got two hostages, and that when that came up on the radar, and we had the proof of life calls and everything, and we started looking at each other like, hey, this is serious. We're looking at maybe we get to do this, you know. And it was just like, it was awesome in a sense, because it was 3 months of just sheer focus. And you know, we needed it, so to speak, if you know what I mean. Like we needed to get guys focused again. And we did. It certainly it certainly went that way quick.
Have you ever had any further contact with the woman that you rescued?
I definitely have. Okay, yeah, good. She's got a huge heart, and beautiful family now. Her and her husband, actually. It's not like a common thing, but occasionally I have heard from them, and I just say that, you know, it takes a special type of. I've heard some people criticize about people going into these countries and trying to help, but man, what a heart somebody has to go into a place like Somalia and truly try to help. Right? They were just there. They were a part of a humanitarian aid. I believe it was a demining, so they're taking care of mines and stuff, which I've seen in Somalia. And you know, that's pretty admirable stuff, if you ask me. I mean, so I would steer Americans away from Somalia specifically. Maybe don't go into that one. But there's plenty of other places to go in Africa. But but yeah, big heart, gracious person. Absolutely.
Amen. You know, like many of our veterans, we alluded to it before, where you struggled with PTSD, and you were actually in the process of taking your life when your son and wife walked in on you. Yeah, I went down the same path. We didn't cover this in our pre-talk, but it was for different reasons. But mine was back in 1992, about 3 years after I separated. And the Lord supernaturally stopped me, and I've been his ever since. Why did you open with that situation in your book?
For a lot of reasons. You know, I wanted to sort of snap the seriousness and attention into what this is about, just right up front. And you know, I went back and forth a lot. You know, this book, I don't know if it was seemed fast paced to you, but
it was definitely,
you know, I had
riveting.
Done a lot
it
of,
held my interest all the way through.
Oh, I appreciate that. And that was kind of my deal to myself. You know, I've written a lot of stuff down, and I just, you know, I wanted it to be something that is short enough and fast enough that people won't just read a couple of pages and throw it out, because there is definitely a message here. And that was obviously a time that I don't really like talking about, but it's there and it's real and it really happened. And, you know, someday my kid will read this. And, you know, so it was just important. I felt that that was important, you know. So many people are killing themselves right now. I've lost several friends this way, and it's just it's hard, man. Yeah. It's hard because you after the fact, you're like, oh my gosh, how did I not see that? Or, you know, if I just had known, I would have helped them. And, you know, you just feel helpless.
Yeah,
and because when you're in that state of mind, right, you feel like you're doing everybody a favor. I'm just going to get out of this life. Everybody will move on without me.
Yep.
I'm causing nothing but pain.
Yep.
It's just simple.
Family,
I love my people.
I'm out. And,
totally.
Yeah, exactly. I was the same thoughts. You know, I know something like 20% of all suicides in the United States right now are veterans or first responders. I mean, that's high. No matter no matter how they try and dress it up, that's high. I had one of my best friends in the police department take his own life about 2 years after I retired, and you know,
wow.
Nobody's seen it coming. Big Christian, you know, and they'd all say, man, you know, if you'd lined 100 people up and said pick one that would not do it, he'd be the one I'd pick, you know, and he still took his life.
Wow.
So I mean, you just don't know what people are going through, you know, what they're suffering.
You don't. And I, you know, more and more I see veterans reaching out for help, and I think, you know, there's such a stigma for me to even speak up and say I've got something wrong, because especially at that place, man. I mean, there's a you know, there's an attitude there, like you can never ask for help, right?
Yeah. Although they say you can.
How dare there be?
Yeah. They say you can,
but you really can't.
Right.
You really can't, because it's game over if you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you're done operating. I mean, we were terrified to say anything was wrong, because you know. The rumors start and you can't hold it. I mean, it starts and then there's something wrong, and you know, I've seen it too many times, and it's just, so it's a scary thing. But I think, you know, I hope that the military is really looking hard. I know that this foundation, All Eagles Oscar, we have treated active duty JSOC members, operators.
Mm-hmm.
We've paid for their treatment, and I just bring that up to say that, you know, it does happen, and it is helping people, and this is some stuff. I think part of the problem is the meds, you know, we're on some pretty hardcore medications that are, you know, I don't know, they're mentally, you know, they're changing the way you think about things, but.
Yep. I know I was on four of them three of the four were at the maximum legal dose authorized by the FDA, you know, and it just had me spaced out all day long. I mean, I just, you know, I'd take
it.
20 minutes later, I'm like zoned out, and you know, I couldn't live like that. I didn't want to live like that. You know,
no, so and that's the thing. You know, you go through it, and you realize that right there. It's like, okay, so this is a good Band-Aid. You know, you get on the meds the first time, you're like, wow, okay, I don't have to feel so depressed right now.
Mm-hmm.
But how long does that last? Maybe
exactly.
3 months, 6 months. Definitely not the rest of your life.
That's right.
I mean, come on.
Amen. And the longer you're on it, the less effective they are.
The less effective, and the worse your body reacts.
Yep.
I mean, exactly. I was gaining weight. I couldn't control, like, heart, sweating. I mean, I couldn't sleep. I'd have to take a pill, and then you're not recovering in your sleep.
Yep.
Amen. You know, the opiates are just, they're garbage, man. But, you know, cannabis has really helped me, I'll say, as a daily medicine. CBD is a phenomenal thing. And I think the THC is too, but I know that that's not legal everywhere yet, but more and more veterans are turning to it in some form, because it does help. And you know, is it an oxy that I'm taking? No, but you know, if I take a Tylenol and with some cannabis, I can tell you that I'll take that any day over an Oxycontin or an opiate, because it's just, you know, I can function. I can have a conversation. I'm clear. I can work out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, I know. When I stopped all mine, I stopped cold turkey. I didn't go to the doctor. And boy, was that doctor upset. I mean, one day I just said, I can't live like this anymore. I'm done. And that was the worst 10 days or 2 weeks of my life. Oh, absolutely. No sleep, just sweats. Oh, it was. But when I went back to see the doctor, I must have looked pretty bad, because he's a really friendly guy. And he walked in, and as soon as he seen me, he said, what the hell happened to you?
You know? Oh, man.
And I told him, I quit taking that medicine. He said, what medicine? I said, all of it. You can't do that? I did four days ago.
Oh, man, you're lucky.
But I don't recommend it. Disclaimer,
no,
what Brother Bob did, you know. But that was me. I just because I was at that point. I was, and I said, well, and, I can't do it.
To that point right there, I mean, that's pure courage right there that you could just cold turkey it. That's one of the things that when we get a veteran to the brain treatment center, you know, they're usually there for 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things, you know, that the doctor meets with them about. There's no talk therapy there. There's no psychologist. It's actual treatment and magnetic resonance treatment. Mm-hmm. But what I've seen to every vet that we've treated is a wean off of the medications that they're on over time, you know, and it's quick. It's not cold turkey. Like some of the stuff they want you to stay on it. It's just lower and lower and lower doses. Right. Mm-hmm. Until they're off of it. And I think that, you know, things like this treatment helps with the withdrawal as well as things amen. Like cannabis I've mm-hmm. seen. So
yeah,
not to promote cannabis. I'm just saying that
it works.
It works, and there's for a big you. Stigma around yeah. it. I'm very delicate how I talk about it because I know that, you know, some people like my parents' age, they're still trying to understand how is this okay now? And yeah. and those are valid questions because it's been such a, you know, quote unquote evil thing for so long, and and boy, is it so much better than pharmaceuticals I've found. So it's just been helpful. So yeah.
Amen. Tell us about your All Eagles Foundation, you know, how you got involved sure. starting this and how does it work?
Right. So just to backtrack, you know, after that moment that I talk about in the book, some friends and had reached out about, they'd heard about this treatment, and I went out and I was out there for about 6 weeks. And, you know, you go in every day to the brain center and it's 30 minutes. They do an EEG, first of all, which is you wear a little skull cap. They put all these little wires and you close your eyes for 10 minutes. Don't fall asleep. And they're just looking at your brain function and the frequencies really is what they're looking at that your brain is functioning on. And what this thing is, it's pretty simple. I'm not trying to sound too scientific, but it's a electromagnet. They tune it to a specific frequency and it pulses. And so you're sitting in a chair for 30 minutes and in 8 seconds on the minute for 30 minutes, for 8 seconds, this thing pulses. And what it's doing is it's a magnetic pulse with a frequency. And over time, it's influencing the frequency that your brain is on. And you've got 30 billion neurons in your brain. And this is what is, you know, 10,000 of those are functioning differently. You know, you have autism. So that's like a pin, a needle, a pin drop, right? So we got some delicate stuff going on with our brain. But this magnetic resonance, it's truly amazing. I'll call it miraculous, but it's pretty simple. And at the end of the day, you know, people can say whatever they want. I'm seeing hundreds of veterans that were going to kill themselves, and now they're not.
Praise the Lord.
And, you know, my eyes are opened and that's it. You know, the praise definitely goes to the Lord. It's so simple.
Yeah.
And, but it is expensive still. And you mentioned the FDA. It's like, we're trying to get them to approve this. It's approved for depression. Mm. But you know, it'd be nice to see them in every single VA hospital and at every single base, these amen. Machines, they're not that expensive in the grand scheme of things.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And it's all about the traumatic brain injury patients. You know, how do the veteran, do you go find them? Do they reach out to you or they refer to you? How do you get in touch with them?
Well, it's a lot of things. It's a little bit of everything there. A lot of times, this is all word of mouth because somebody will go there, get treated. They'll go back to their unit or they'll tell their buddies, hey, this no kidding worked. Or it's their spouse will be like, I've got my, you know, so-and-so back. This is the person that I married or, you know, I've heard it all, but, they can get to us. AllEaglesOscar.org is the website. Mm-hmm. But yeah, most of the guys and gals we've treated are all word of mouth. And, and they're combat vets. That's what we focus on. It's the guys that were in combat. There's a lot of foundations out there. And there's other ones that are doing what we're doing as well. And they're great foundations.
Amen. So. Amen. And explain what All Eagles Oscar means, just so people
yes, know. Sir. So, yeah. So it's a different name, right? So All Eagles Oscar is what we always wanted to hear coming off the battlefield. That just means that all of us Americans, we called ourselves Eagles. Mm-hmm. our Oscar are okay. So when that gets passed up, it means nobody's bad shape, right?
Yep.
It's a good thing. It's hope.
Yeah, amen, amen. We're with Cops, we used to say Ocean King, you know, on the radio. It was okay.
Oh, cool.
Ocean King. And, so you always want to hear that when they're going into something, and then, you know,
that's it,
it's over. They say, you know, five Ocean King. If the five team members went in, then Ocean King means we're all right, you know.
And I like it.
So, but your book, Justin, is extremely well written. I can't recommend this book enough to our listeners. I take it's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, sir. Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And the audio, I finished last month. They're about to release it release it, it sounds like. So I'm looking forward to that.
Amen, amen. Someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question or find out more information about your organization, All Eagles Oscar. How can they do that? How can they get in touch with you?
I have an Instagram page. It's at @mob_6, so at @mob_VI. Mob 6, of course, is MOB in the Roman numeral 6, VI. So Instagram, I'm on Twitter. You know, you can look up my name, Justin Sheffield. It probably won't be that hard. It'll be the one talking about Mob 6. Just because I have seen some other accounts on there with my likeness and my name. It's interesting.
Oh, really?
Wow. But yeah, that was quick. So I'm getting used to social media. But also, alleaglesoscar.org is our website. So, you know, if it's somebody who would like to donate, we have amazing donors. And honestly, it's the people that are donating 20, 50, 100 bucks. We have some people that have been, and some organizations like Oakley has a benevolent arm called Infinite Hero. They give us a grant every year. They're amazing.
Man. Praise the Lord.
The people that take your trash out, you know, thank a trash man, because Waste Connections gives us a grant every year.
Amen.
And I'm just pointing out a couple of pretty amazing donors we have, but several ways to get a hold of us.
Yep. Amen. And it's the small donations that really add up to help.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Folks, I have read Justin's book, Mob 6, and from, like I said, cover to cover. And if you ever wanted to get just a glimpse of what it's like to be a Navy SEAL from that inside perspective, this book's for you. I mean, you will not be able to put it down. Just use the link below down in the show notes to order your copy today. In fact, you need to order two or three copies, because we need to support Justin and other veterans just like him. And we need you to order this book and give it to someone you know as a gift, especially if they're prior military, you know they have PTSD. And give it to him, because not only is he unashamedly proclaiming his Christianity in here, but he can relate. They'll be able to relate to what he went through. And the information he gives about All Eagles Oscar will give them that spark of hope that they need right now. And I want you to support the All Eagles Oscar Foundation. This great organization relies on the generous donations of people just like you to ensure that they are able to make a difference in the lives of our combat veterans. There is no greater worthy cause than to assist our nation's heroes in recovering from the physical and sometimes the invisible injuries that they receive defending our nation and protecting the freedom we so deeply cherish. For more information on how to help or make a donation, go to the website at www.alleaglesoscar.org. Justin, thank you again for your service and for coming on the program and visiting with us today, man.
Anytime, Pastor. Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Amen. For Justin Sheffield and myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith, and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.